Hi, I'm Henry Ranga, one of the professors of our Influence Spark class, and with me is Professor Steve Elzinga. I'm excited about this class because I see over my ministry, and I see meeting with a lot of very influential leaders, how important influence really is.
Why is that important, Henry?
Well, yesterday, I'll start with a story, and then maybe we can talk about that. Yesterday, I was at a mental health banquet, and I met at our table a mental health professional who had spent his life helping people through depression and suicidal issues and so forth. And I said, well, what's the most important thing you've learned in your last 25 years of working? So he said, well, we used to cloister people. So we would take them out to a nice retreat, and hopefully that would do it, but we found that didn't really work very well. And then we would get them to do, like, some small project, maybe an activity, thinking that that purpose or activity would help them feel better. But now we've learned that it's about, no, keeping them in their life, but helping them have a little influence, like a little influence and purpose go a long way. And I said to him, does this mean that they'll even get off some of the drugs and medications and all that? Oh, yeah, he lit up. It changes everything about them.
Which is just, really, it's the spiritual dream, right? We ask people, we've literally asked hundreds and thousands of people all over the world, what's your spiritual dream? And remember what the two answers are. People give a God answer, but they give a people answer. Yeah. Which is influence, right? People want to make a difference in the lives of their kids, their spouse, their friends, people at church, people that they work alongside with. Ultimately, people want to make a difference in the lives of somebody on the time that they have on this planet. So it doesn't surprise me that this is a good way to help someone, you know, dealing with depression or whatever mental issues that someone is dealing with. If you have a sense of, I'm actually making a difference, that's what influence is, then it does something for you.
Well, and just think about the ministry topics. Think about evangelism as influence.
Yeah.
A sermon, preaching, there's influence.
Discipleship.
Parenting
is influence.
Yeah, right. I mean, any husband,
really,
wife.
Friendships don't become meaningful when friends, you know, we've been friends a long time. And we end up influencing one another.
We do. So at the friendship level, at the church level. Now, a program that we have at Christian Leaders Institute is the Life Coach Minister.
Right.
And how to coach others to be more successful as leaders or people.
So you might be taking this class, this one credit class, on how to influence. And it might be so that you can be a better influence in your own ministry. Or you can try to teach people in your church how to have a better influence. Or you want to be a life coach, and this is one of the areas, or one of the badges, we call it, a specialized topic area that you want to help people. So as we go through this course, we're going to try to add little hints about how you can use it in your coaching. Yeah. But it can be used, really, in any area of your life.
Right. I wished that I would have had this class when I started ministry. Because many of the principles and the ideas here are things that I learned in a lifetime. I mean, now they're in books, like by John Maxwell. There's a whole bunch of books. And, you know, we've taken these principles and distilled them into principles based upon the book of Proverbs.
Okay. So a lot of the influence behind this class are many of the different books of religious authors that have already talked about these subjects.
Yeah.
But also, they all stole it from the book of Proverbs.
Yeah. In some ways, the wisdom, you know, you think about the King Solomon and, you know, the writing of that the young leaders would do well. And many of these principles are about influence, about people influence, and how to be a person of integrity and leadership.
So in this class, we're going to be looking at influence-wrecking habits.
Okay.
So these are the negative things that we sometimes do that keep us from influencing others. And, of course, we're going to be then talking about the positive thing that you can do to not do the wrecking habits. How do you get positive influence, habits, and really we're just going to do some random ones, right? We're just taking different proverbs and talking about different subjects. And so, you know, as a life coach, you might be looking through these things, and then how you would help someone is you would help someone identify 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of the things that they're doing that wreck their influence, and then how do you positively change that?
That's right. Now, as you go through this course, I recommend that you first look at yourself.
Okay.
I remember when my wife and I went through this, we went through with Professor Elzinga, and I'm thinking to myself, do I do that? And then I said to Pam, my wife, you know, which one do you think that I do the influence wrecking habits the most? And she had a few opinions that I said, you know, Henry, you do this? Or, and I'll admit to some of them when we get to some of mine. But what about you? And maybe writing some of yours down. So that you can say, Lord, help me become more influential for Christ.
Right.
Well, you want to start? Here we go.
Why not? Not walking with God.
Whoa. That's an influence issue? I think that's, many people think that's just a personal connection to God issue.
We have Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. Hmm. It's interesting to me that the early Christians were called people of the way.
That's right.
I mean, they could have called them people of God. They could have called them Christians. That's what we do today. But they were called people of a way because these people were known to be living differently.
There was a distinctiveness about
them. There was a distinctive. And basically the way was how they treated people.
Right.
Or the influence that they had.
Wow.
And we think that, you know, your biggest influence that you have on other people is when you actually have something worth influencing them with.
Right.
I mean, if you're a lazy person with no purpose or meaning or connection to anything, then how are you going to have influence over anyone?
Right.
But if you're walking with the God who created this universe and everything in it, and you're talking to him, and you're reading the Word of God, you're looking for God's will in your life, and then God shows up in your life, you actually have something to share with someone
else. Yeah.
So if you're going to be influencing other people, you really have to have a walk with God.
In some ways, we are the channel of His peace. We walk with God in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, radiates. So the essence of influence for a Christian is the relationship, the walk with God we have.
Right. And it really takes, I think, a lot of you or certainly a lot of the people that you try to help, a lot of people think that they're not qualified to have influence over people.
Right.
Influence is for leaders.
Right.
I think John Maxwell talks about that. Influence is, or leadership
is
influence.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people look at themselves and go, well, I'm not a leader.
Right.
Therefore, I'm not an influence person.
Right.
And it's because you're looking at who you are and saying, I don't know, I'm not talented enough, I'm not good-looking enough. No. If you have a walk with God, then God is in you, and He has gifts and abilities and a purpose for you. You're on this planet for a reason.
Right.
So it's getting in touch with who God is in you that empowers you and gives you the confidence to be the influence person that you could be.
I've also noticed as a minister or as a Christian leader, when people find out that you are a minister, there's even a little hidden expectation that, oh, this is a person who walks with the God of this Bible, this Christianity, and then that walk is actually welcomed by many people, even people who are not even connected to the Lord.
Right. They think you may just have something that they don't.
Yeah. And that's influential.
Right.
So let's start talking. Again, they're very random.
Yep.
They're out of the book of Proverbs. So why don't we get going with more?
Putting strings attached to favors.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay. What do you mean by that, Henry?
Well, some of the literature talks about this, and in Proverbs it says in chapter 11, verse 18, the wicked man earns deceptive wages. But he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. What happens sometimes is, as a leader or as a person, you grant a favor. Let's say you see somebody, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, and you give them a $20 bill. And, you know, the kid's really happy, the young person's really happy about it. And then 2 weeks later, you see that young person, and then you say, you know, hey, would you do that? And that person's, it's inconvenient right now. He's going to a soccer game, but he just got $20 from you in the past. Right. So then you say, now, didn't I give you $20? You know, you call that customer service, and then you know the kid does it. He's late for his game, and here you were a leader that he highly prized. But now the next week, that tangible thing was, you could have said to him, "Hey, do you have time to do something around here?" Right. And if he said, "No, I don't," you know, it's that type of thing. Now, if you start multiplying that as a pastor, a minister, where it's sort of like keeping track of, "I did this good for me," you do this good for me, it really depletes your influence.
Yeah, but are you saying like, okay, I'm in a way disguising my favor as really a wage. I'm saying, I'm going to do this for you, Henry.
Right.
But it's going to cost you later.
Yes.
And so I'm giving the impression that I'm giving you something.
Right.
But that's, I think, the deceptive part.
Yeah.
I mean, if you came to someone and said, look, you do this for me, I pay you $20. I do this for you, you pay me $20. It's just a nice exchange. It's a transaction, and it's clear.
Right.
This really is saying, you're saying you're giving a gift, but you're really giving an obligation.
Yes.
And eventually people catch on to that.
Yes.
And then every time they meet you, it's like, okay, what does Henry want from me?
Yes. What angle?
What angle does he have? What angle is he hiding?
Yes.
So it's being, I guess, that whole deceptive thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is an area that hurts someone's influence.
Yes. Making yourself the center of every story.
I mean, this is tempting to do. Yes. You know, you're talking and you share. Yeah. Maybe you share your victories, your wins. But many times you share, you know, your losses, what you feel a victim about.
Yeah. Either way, you come off the star of your own sitcom.
Right.
Your own little story. And, of course, we do that.
Yeah.
Of course, you tell stories and you're the star of your story, or it somehow comes back to you. I think what this is talking about is when you're always doing that.
Yes.
It's all about you. It's every story that you tell is about you, and every story makes you look like, even the story that makes you look bad, you're doing it to make yourself look humble.
Yes. Like, you know, I learned this.
You see how awesome I am? I even fail, and I'm awesome at that.
Yeah.
And so if you make yourself the center of everything, eventually people don't want to follow that, because they know, really, it's just about you.
Right.
That your concern, your thoughts are about you. And how would we, what would be the positive of this?
Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. As I see that proverb, I really see that when you need to be the star of every story, you know, in your narrative, how you look at the world, I think it starts to move away from your walk with God.
Yeah.
And many times people do that. I know preachers who, when they preach, every illustration, when they have an illustration, is about, you know, what they learned in that time with God.
Right, right.
And eventually that gets hard to listen to.
Right. Because again, if you want to have influence on someone else, I want to help you. Now, where's my focus? My focus is on you.
Right.
I'm trying to help you. That's what influence is. I'm trying to influence you to something good. But when I'm always telling stories about myself, the focus is on me.
Yeah.
So you can't have influence on someone else when you're really just trying to build up your own self-esteem, and you go out of the meeting going, I feel really good.
Right.
And you've helped influence yourself.
Right.
But not the other person.
Here's one, very practical one. Using social media or blogs to tear people down.
Now, why do people want to tear people down, do you think? What do you gain, or what's the? Why do we do that?
Well, I think sometimes people do because they feel that's the righteous cause, and this is how you do it.
Okay.
So they look at it like, you know what? I've got to take that person down because my cause is more worthy.
Right.
I think sometimes people just see that's what everybody does, and they just copy.
Yeah.
A lot of people just do this.
I think too, people. You know, I think inherently everyone feels a little insecure. And we're all looking for our own self-esteem. Am I somebody? Am I noticed? I walk into a room. Do people think I'm cool? Where do I fit? And so I think a lot of times we put people down, especially when they're not there to defend themselves.
Right.
Because it makes us look better. I mean, if you're lower, I just go a little higher.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling low, so the way to do that is to put people down. And then social media is the new way to make it more public and to have people join in with you.
Yeah, you're going to gather others.
Right, I've seen that with marriages. Let's say you're meeting with a couple for dinner and then their marriage is a disaster and they're always fighting and they're always making points to each other, but there's no judge in the room. Right. So then you go out with them, and all of a sudden each one of them is trying to get you to agree with them.
Yeah.
You see how he is? And I think that's what the social media does. It's like, I'm going to talk to all kinds of people who think like me, and I'm going to slant the whole thing so that I get people commenting, yeah, you're right, that's horrible. That's not, how could your boss treat you that way? And so people are, I think, you know, slanting the story on social media so they get all their friends patting them on the back. But ultimately, if you do that, okay, so what's the negative about that? How could this come back and bite you in terms of your leadership and your influence?
Well, it says in Proverbs 13, verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. I think it comes down to people who are always dissing others on social media ultimately are not trusted.
Right. And why do you think that is?
Well, I think they're not trusted because, A, will you turn on me?
Yes. Exactly. If you're willing to diss that friend you're talking about on a social platform.
Right.
You know, right now I'm talking to you and we're getting along.
Yes.
But what if I do something stupid to you?
Right.
And then you will do the same to me that I've seen you do. I'm not going to share anything with you.
Yeah, because you're on pins and needles. That's the English phrase for you're always on alert that this person is not trustworthy.
Right.
And that hurts influence.
Right.
You know, and even sometimes people have like little guarded, like it's like a little diss, but it's only to a small number of people on social media. Okay. But you know they mean you.
Right.
So, you know, all these things are all hurt your influence.
Right.
What do you think about that one, Steve?
Making someone listen to you when they're not interested in what you're talking about.
Now, this was written in a lot of the literature, and, you know, even a fool, it says in Proverbs 17:28, is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue.
So why do we talk when people are not interested? Why would we keep talking?
Well, sometimes our ego, we want them to get interested in what we're interested in. We're hoping that maybe if we say the right thing long enough, somebody will often spark. I mean, that's the good side of it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think, too, some people will talk on and on and on, and they're just not even aware that the person's not interested. And the reason why they're not aware is as they're telling their thing and saying their thing, again, the focus is on myself. I'm enjoying telling you all about this. I'm feeling good about it. I'm looking smart about whatever I'm talking about because I'm waxing eloquent about something I know. And I'm so absorbed with me and how I'm feeling about it that I don't even notice that your eyes are glazing over and that you're not. I think that's really, you know, what's going on. People aren't even aware of that person.
Right. And how do you do that? How do you become more aware of that? In my mind, you are a pretty strong listener.
I think part of it is if you're stuck in that, and the reason why people then don't follow is a person if you're going on and on telling me all kinds of stuff and I'm giving all the signals I can to say I'm not interested, and you don't see it, what that tells me is you're so self-absorbed, you're not even paying attention to me. You don't even know what I'm thinking or not thinking. You're just talking for the sake of talking.
Right.
So It's hard to get out of that because the self-absorbed person is self-absorbed.
Right, right.
And the only way that they're going to get out of that is for someone to stop and say, you know, I have a friend who does that. He waxes eloquent on stuff that goes on, like hunting and so on. I tell him straight out, I'm not interested in hunting. I've done it a few times. It's never grabbed hold of me. And he's going into details about bullets and ballistics and on and on. I reiterate, really not interested in that. I mean, you can tell me in general, and as a friend, I'll listen to
right.
some degree.
But a small amount, like
a
2 minutes.
Small
minutes,
amount.
You know, yeah.
But I don't care about the detail that I wouldn't understand any of it
right.
anyway. And he just goes on and on.
Right.
Well, at some point, I interrupt him and I say, you are just talking for your sake. Okay?
Right.
I haven't said a word in 15
right.
minutes. That's a good indication that I'm not really interested. And it's all right now about you. If you want a conversation, you want a friendship, it has to be a little bit about me.
Right.
So then he stops and goes, okay, so what do you want to talk about? So it does. So I don't know of any other way than to just tell someone straight up
right.
that, look, you can't just go on and on and on. I mean, I did it for a while. I listened for a while, but I can't do it forever.
Right. You know, I think I was guilty of this when I joined this local country club to even, you know, identify people that could possibly support Christian Leaders Institute. When I first got there, I mean, I look at it and they didn't even know who Christian Leaders Institute was and all the other stuff. And I can see some people that I was way too enthusiastic too early
right.
when I was there.
Right. So you told them everything about CLI maybe before you knew enough about them and their
I
story.
Know, I know.
So telling stories and being enthusiastic is sort of a half and half.
Yes.
I'll listen to all your stuff if you listen to my stuff.
Right. So you had to really like listen for a while. And,
yes.
and what I've learned now is to be much more engaging with what they're interested
yeah.
in. And then little hints of, you know, and some of them do not know the Lord yet. So that was the other thing I was like, to me, a minister and sharing. And I almost shared Christ too fast. Or too early in the relationship in some cases. Now, since that time, I've tried to, by prayerfully, move that around. And honestly, I needed some coaching. So I think that I asked one of the people at the club how I was received, and this person's not a believer in Christ, but and this person runs a pretty large business, has coaching skills. So I submitted myself and said, you know, from an outside look, how do you see what I do yeah. on this topic?
Yeah.
And then he really said 4 or 5 things, and I'm working on it. It's amazing how you got a plan and worked on it, how much improved it is now.
Right. So that's the coaching aspect. Let's say you have someone that you're working with, and they identify this. Yeah, this is what I do. Now, the coaching piece is to sort of make a plan. Okay, how are we going to, in the next week or the next 2 weeks, how are we going to not do this? So let's come up with a strategy. So now you sit down and help them come. Well, you would ask the guy, well, can you think of ways to overcome this?
Right.
Well, you know, now he has to think. And, you know, I want to give him the answer, but he has to, again, coaching is trying to help someone figure out their own answers. And if you keep pushing long enough, they may come up with, well, okay, I'm going to keep track of the conversations I have over the next 2 weeks. And my goal is to first listen to at least one story of theirs before I give one story of mine.
Right. That's a good idea.
And I'm going to keep it that balance. I can't, or if I take 5 minutes, I have to now listen for 5 minutes.
Right.
Some kind of strategy to overcome this thing. Because otherwise we just keep doing what we do.
Right.
And what happens is you start talking about what you're interested in, and
yeah.
I interrupt you, and I use what you just said as a springboard to tell
right.
my story about whatever you just said.
Right.
So again, it's about me, a me, me, me. And whenever you talk too much about yourself, this is what happens. People
right.
lose interest. People get energized when they're talking.
Yeah, oh, it's so true. It's very much related to this, almost exactly related, is being self-absorbed in conversations.
Right. A generous man will prosper. Now, generosity is when you're giving to someone else.
Right.
It's not about you. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So if right. I listen to you, and I'm generous with the amount of time that we're talking, and I right. listen to your stories, and I respond to your stories, and right. I add a little, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've never heard that before. I get that back in return.
Yeah.
So we want it, and sometimes we just go and grab it
right.
instead of giving it first.
Yeah. So, well, this was our first presentation, and we have many principles of how to be more influential by looking at those influence-wrecking habits. So thank you for being part of part number one.
All right.